So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the Canto, chapter 27, Understanding Material Nature, text number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Arte
Arte Hi
Avidyamane
Avidyamane
Api
Api
Samsriti
Samsriti
Na
Na
Nivartate
Nivartate
Chayata senses, he develops the knowledge that he is not the enjoyer, for the only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, he is the beneficiary for all the results of sacrifices and penances, bhoktaram nagatapasam, and he is the proprietor of all the three worlds, sarvaloka maheshwaram. He is the actual friend of all living entities. Instead of leaving proprietorship, enjoyment, and the actual position as the friend of all living entities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we claim that we are the proprietors, the enjoyers, and the friends. We perform philanthropic work thinking that we are the friends of human society. Someone may proclaim himself to be a very good national worker, the best friend of the people and of the country, but actually He cannot be the greatest friend of everyone. The only friend is Krishna. One should try to raise the consciousness of the conditioned soul to the platform of understanding that Krishna is his actual friend. If one makes friendship with Krishna, one will never be cheated. He will get all help needed. Arousing this consciousness of the conditioned soul is the greatest service, not posing oneself as a great friend of another living entity. The power of friendship is limited. Although one claims to be a friend, he cannot be a friend unlimitedly. There are an unlimited number of living entities, and our resources are limited. Therefore, we cannot be of any real benefit to the people in general. The best service of the people in general is to awaken them to Krishna consciousness so that they may know the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend is Krishna. And then this illusory dream of lording it over material nature will vanish.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata
politician, he advertises himself as the best friend of his citizens. but yet he's condoning the abortion clinics and the slaughterhouses. How that can be a friend? These politicians, they're condoning the murder every day of 66,000 babies being killed every day on the planet. They advertise themselves as friends, but yet they're committing so many atrocities. It is simply hype, false hype. I'm the best friend of my citizens. And how they can claim proprietorship also. Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheshvaram. Everything is owned by me. How anyone else can claim proprietorship? It is not possible. And who's the enjoyer of something? The owner. Somebody tries to enjoy your car, you call the police. A thief has taken my car. You see. The owner, he is the rightful enjoyer. Others cannot enjoy. So, Krishna being the owner of everything, he is the actual enjoyer of everything. If we try to enjoy something, we're trying to do. The present moment, we're trying to enjoy this material nature. This is Krishna's material nature. We have no right to try to enjoy this material nature. One might ask, though, but aren't we enjoyers by nature, being part and parcel of Krishna? So how does it work, then? If I'm not allowed to enjoy, then how can I even exist in any kind of sane state of mind? Well, it's very simple. If you make Krishna the enjoyer, then you enjoy automatically. Just like in your body, the belly is the enjoying organ. The food is enjoyed by the belly, you see. So the hand, he cannot enjoy separately the foodstuffs. That is not possible. But if the hand will see to the enjoyment of the belly by feeding the foodstuffs to the belly, then through the bloodstream, the hand will get its nutritional value also. It will get its enjoyment of the food as well. So we should always remember the example of the hand and the belly. Krishna is like the belly and we are like the hand. But we should never try to enjoy separately. The hand cannot get the benefit of the food separately. The hand can get the benefit of the food only when it serves it to the belly. And then automatically gets the benefit. So we will give up this foolish pursuit of trying to be the independent enjoyers. And just try to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. Then automatically we enjoy equally with Krishna Prabhupada. Actually, it's even described the devotee enjoys more than Krishna. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and the devotee enjoys more than the supreme enjoyer. That's why Krishna has become Lord Chaitanya. He's saying, my devotee is enjoying more than me, so I don't want to be outdone. So I will become a devotee also. Krishna becomes a Hare Krishna. Because Hare Krishna is enjoying more than Krishna. So he becomes a Hare Krishna. So we don't say don't enjoy, but we say you have to understand how to enjoy. This is our teaching. We don't say it's wrong to enjoy. We say it's wrong to enjoy wrongly. You cannot enjoy it separately. You cannot do that. The hand cannot get the nutritional value simply by squeezing the rice and the fingers. But when you feed it to the belly, then you get all nutritional values. So, this is a very, very important concept. We're trying to get the politicians to understand this. Then all the problems will be solved with the world, that they can just put Krishna in the center. But they're putting themselves in the center. That's the big, big problem. They all put themselves in the center. And we have to give up this mentality of thinking we are the center. And we have to understand Krishna is the center. And that will bring the desire of peace and prosperity for all. They tried so many things, and they've all been failures. They tried the League of Nations, After World War I, they started the League of Nations. World War II broke out. And they started the United Nations. How many wars and conflicts are going on in the world in spite of the United Nations? Hundreds of conflicts and wars have come since the United Nations has fought. Hundreds of wars. These League of Nations, United Nations, did not stop. Why? Because they're not putting Krishna in the center, they're putting God in the center. Ishavashanidam sarvam yaktin chandragadam kagat tena prachanya bhunjita margadam kajasvindhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should recognize this and accept only those things necessary for himself to set aside as his quota. This concept, Ishavasham, this must be introduced to our world leaders. You see, God is the center. Now they want to deny God. It's like, look at the founding documents of the European Union. Is God mentioned anywhere in the European Union founding documents? Is there any mention of God? It's completely godless. At least in the U.S. they mention God in the founding principles of the country. But where is God in the European Union? There's nothing about God. Not absolutely zero about God. How they expect to have peace and happiness in a godless civilization? This is fool's paradise. We cannot have peace and happiness without God. Therefore, we have to make a revolution on this planet. We have to bring God back to the center. In every institution, everything should be based on God. Government, education, entertainment, agriculture, every single aspect of society, it must be God-centered. Only then we'll have happiness on this planet. Otherwise, it's just going to become unbelievably more and more hellish. As a child growing up in the 50s, I could never conceive of such things going on in the world. It's unbelievable, such things. In our childhood back in the 50s, we never dreamed of such things had happened. People just take a gun and start shooting. It's just unbelievable these things happen. But it's natural. Because there's so many babies being slaughtered and so many innocent animals being slaughtered, the karmic reaction is bound to bounce back in our faces. It's bound to, it has to. The law of karma will act. If you commit violence upon innocent creatures, then you will also become a victim of violence. So we have to educate people in general in these principles. Our government leaders have to be convinced of these. There has to be changes made in the society, otherwise the whole thing is going to disintegrate. Just like the poet Yeats predicted. He said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed. It'll suddenly be like a jungle, like cannibals. It's you eat or you be eaten, that's all. The strong kill the weak and eat them. The whole human society will be reduced to the level of cannibals in the jungle. It will be a horrible situation. And Kaki Avatar will come and annihilate all these demons and bring in another Satya Yuga. But the good news is this, and I don't want you all to get too depressed now, hearing all this bad news. But the good news is Lord Chaitanya's movement is predicted to bring a golden era of within the middle of the Kali Yuga. That golden era began 500 years ago with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's a 10,000 year period. That means for the next 9,500 years, the Chaitanya era will be manifest in this planet. There will be an increase of God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, to the point where the whole world becomes inundated with it. It's a very nice verse in this connection. Sajjanda durjanda pangu jabda anagana premadam yayala juvayala jagatana jana. This Krishna consciousness movement is a tidal wave of love of God. It will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, the pious, the impious, the lame, the invalid, the blind. Everyone will become inundated. So it's actually ecstatic. So the more we can distribute these books, the more we can flood the world with this Harinam Sankirtan, the more we can ourselves become purified by quality sadhana, quality relationships, quality chanting, quality sadhana. That's bringing this revolution, the spiritual revolution to this planet. So we have a duty. Actually, Prabhupada gave us this duty. He told us, with his disciples, he said three things you must do. You must become perfect in understanding the science of Krishna consciousness. You must become guru, and you must deliver the whole world. So we have our family business. We have to deliver the world. That's our mission. We have a world deliverance mission, not just simply to chant and dance happily in our temples and do a little harinam every now and then. No. Our mission is to completely revolutionize the whole human society. That's our business. This kind of business is to revolutionize the whole world. So how do we do that? Prabhupada also explains in another place in the Bhagavad Gita, he says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver all the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he's not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also become perfect. So, confirming that this is, should be our meditation. How can I speak, act, and think in such a way to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement? That is the duty of every member of our society. And Prabhupada also explains in another place. He says, this is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Purport. He says, when one becomes perfect in chanting the holy names of the Lord without any offense, this is really an amazing quote. Prabhupada says, when one becomes perfect in chanting Hare Krishna mantra without any offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world takes to Krishna consciousness. So we need to... The point is, the more we become purified in our chanting, the more perfect we become in chanting Hare Krishna, the more of an uplifting, revolutionary impact we have on the global atmosphere. Just by purely chanting the holy name, one can actually have an impact on the whole universe. Sitting in your living room, chanting Hare Krishna purely, you can have an impact on the whole consciousness of the whole universe. That's how important it is to perfect one's chanting. When Prabhupada gave initiation, he would also list the 10 offenses. He would describe the 10 offenses. So it's not just chant 16 rounds of five principles. It's master the art of chanting offense. So that's we have our internal revolution to revolutionize our consciousness. Then we have the external revolution to revolutionize the world around us. So we will be successful in revolutionizing the world around us only to the extent that we revolutionize ourselves with it. So take this chanting process very seriously. Take the rules and regulations very seriously. This is your purification. We cannot expect Krishna consciousness successfully by holding on to the anartas with our own hearts. We have to become pure devotees with ourselves. So maybe there's some questions I can try to answer them. We travel with Sri Srivada Damodar, so Damodar is very special for me, obviously. These deities here are also very special for me. Krishna Balaram and Damodar are very special for me. Radha Kala Chandi in Dallas are very special to me. I have many special deities. What is the difference between God consciousness and Krishna consciousness? Actually, they're the same thing. We are unable to do homeschooling for our child due to financial conditions. How can I still inculcate Krishna consciousness in my child's mind by inculcating it in your mind? To whatever extent you awaken your Krishna consciousness, to that extent you will be able to inculcate it in your own inner child. So you have to seriously cultivate your bhakti. And that will inspire your children. What is the best way to control it? Angerness. That's a new word, angerness. Angerness and enviousness. Use them in Krishna's service. Like, I'm really angry that they're killing 66,000 babies every day. It makes my blood boil. 66,000 babies are murdered by these rascals every day, these rascal governments. That's why I'm in the mood of U.S. government and so-called leading governments who want to sanction these murders. So that's why I'm traveling and preaching. That's why I distribute books. That's why I go on and on. That's why I take your anger and go out and sing and dance on the streets with great enthusiasm to attract all the people to the higher consciousness. I am aspiring to chant sincerely with love, but when I start chanting, my mind just keeps thinking about something else. Please. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's advice that you should beat your mind in the shoes. So you're saying that Bhaktisiddhanta's advice is not practical? You need to come to a higher level of understanding what is our philosophy. How can you say the advice of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not practical? Your understanding is not good. Actually, these are very good advices. So instead of trying to correct the advice you're being given, try to understand the advice you're being given. It's very good advice. It's not my advice. I'm giving the advice of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to beat them on the shoes. But there are other advices too. If I'm a little too heavy for you, then the advice of so instead of beating the mind, he's saying, my dear mind, please engage yourself in the service of the divine son of Ananda Maharaj. So if beating the mind doesn't work, well, try the approach of Govindadas. My dear mind, please do this. Try that approach. Why illicit sex is prohibited? Because it locks you into identification with your material body. That's right. There's nothing that brings one more intensely into bodily identification than illicit sex. So we have to get free from this bodily conception. Otherwise, we remain caught up in karma chakra. Why having sex with your wife is also called illicit sex. It's not. If you're following the regulative principles, that sex is spiritual. If you're trying to give your wife a child, you're following the principles that Prabhupada gave us to chant at least 50 rounds. Husband and wife both chant at least 50 rounds of japa, just after the menstrual cycle. That's not illicit, that's pure spiritual sex. So, if we want only one child, does that mean we can only have sex once with my wife? As many times, you can have sex as many times as you need to have that one child. And if you only have one child, then you should stop after that. The thing is that one may feel frustrated. I have these sexual desires, I want to satisfy them. So it doesn't seem fair that I'm not allowed to satisfy them. But that's an incorrect understanding. One actually experiences by awakening his Krishna consciousness a pleasure many, many times greater than sex pleasure. So one has to understand it's not that you're giving up something. You're actually gaining something which is much more relishable, much more enjoyable. So this understanding has to be that one should not feel frustrated. If one is frustrated, one doesn't understand how to awaken that pleasure which is greater than sex pleasure within the heart, the pleasure of love for Krishna. Yesterday you mentioned that we have to be enthusiastic. Can you please advise on how to be enthusiastic and how to maintain that enthusiasm? Prabhupada explains that if one simply follows the regulated principles, he will naturally be enthusiastic. So we have our principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. If one follows them sincerely, then he will naturally feel enthusiastic. If you violate them, your enthusiasm will go away. So strictly follow the rules and regulations, chant at least 16 rounds of japa, and you will feel wonderful enthusiasm within your heart. I keep reading and listening to lectures that I'm not able to remember when I'm speaking to a new person. Please guide. What can help for those of us who have Kali Yuga memories, like myself, get a notebook. At some point, you go, wow, that's a really great point. You have you write it down, you see. And then you go back and you review your notes. These things will help. Sometimes I feel disappointed by seeing arrogance in seniors or quote advanced devotees. In their tendency, the Lord is all new devotees. Why don't you look at the arrogance in your own heart? You see? It was very easy for us to find fault in others, but we have a very difficult time finding faults in ourselves. Anirudhaprabhu yesterday explained to me very nicely that actually we should see the good qualities in others and see the faults in ourselves. You see? This is a devotee. So, practice that art. See the arrogance in yourself, and you'll actually begin to realize that devotee is not as arrogant as I thought. Actually, I'm the one who's arrogant. Where does the Paramatma go once the soul reaches the spiritual world? Prabhupada says the Paramatma is not in the spiritual world. Krishna is there in his full, his Bhagavan, he's not there as Paramatma. Paramatma is in the material world, Prabhupada explains. I understand that Vedic knowledge is called perfect knowledge, but I'm not able to agree with everything. For example, it says that love in this world is lust. But yes, maybe for some people, but not everyone is loving others with lustful thoughts. Well, there's, lust can have different meanings as well. Lust can also refer to love in different ways, in different places in his book. Sometimes he calls it love. First you love your family members, then you love your next door neighbors, then you love your whole city, and you expand your love finally until it reaches God. Prabhupada also explains it in that way as well. So, it is love in one sense, but in the highest sense it is not. Because actual love means purely giving without any expecting anything in return. So in a relative sense, we can say yes. But in the highest sense, no. Psyches, that's what's brought us here. And to get over it is very, very difficult, that learning our tendency. So it takes some time, but if you diligently follow this process according to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, that learning our tendency will gradually go away. Can you please tell us the importance of distributing Prabhupada's books? It's absolutely essential. Without this Prabhupada's the knowledge that Prabhupada has given us being disseminated to the world, it's impossible. The world situation will improve. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Save the world. So we have to close the book of Prabhupada books. And Prabhupada is being compassionate upon the fallen souls. He wants very much to see them. He mentioned about the quality of sadhana, but what does it mean, quality of sadhana? How to improve the quality?
There's a haitakiya pratiyata described in the Bhagavatam. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. Keep that sadhana going 24 hours a day. That's the first thing to improve. No gaps. And without any motive. Just for the sake of pleasing Krishna, not that I'm trying to get something material for myself. Those two things. How can I have love for the deities? By serving them. Why do we keep separately, why do we keep repeating the same philosophy that we have not this body? Because we haven't realized it yet. You say, well, I already know that, Mama. You may say, I'm not your body, but you still act, think, and feel as if you are your body. That's why you're hearing it again and again. I feel that grihastha life of devotees is very boring. There's no loving exchanges. They're always serious with each other. You think seriousness is something not loving? You think Prabhupada, who was the most serious person you could ever meet, is not a loving person? Seriousness means sobriety. Understanding the importance of Krishna consciousness. Actually, the more you become serious, the more you can have sweet, genuine, loving exchanges. How strong is karma? It's very, very strong. But Krishna is even stronger. How to control the natural urges of sinful nature by engaging your senses. Rishikesha, Rishikena Sevanam. Your senses are very lusty, they want sense gratification, but if you engage them in the service of Krishna, they become satisfied more than any amount of sense gratification that you could ever get from. Can you please explain how we get association by reading books? There's so many great personalities in these books. Prabhupada is there. So many, Srila Vyasadeva, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni. There's so many great associated devotees who are associated with these books. Is it really important to chant 16 rounds? It's absolutely essential. It's the order of Srila Prabhupada. I just get time to listen to the Bhagavatam. Chanting some rounds here and there isn't it enough. Well, if you want to go back to Godhead, you're not fine enough. It's Prabhupada's order. You cannot neglect the order of Srila Prabhupada and go back to Godhead. You have to find a way to do it. Somehow or other, Krishna will help you. If you're sincere in your desire, Krishna will help you. Should one follow all the rules and regulations to the core? Are going to be changed based on personal circumstances. Well, the four regulated principles has to be followed to the core. Other things can be sometimes adjusted. Depending on time, place, and circumstance. The four regulated principles and chanting 16 rounds, there's no adjustment for that. You have to follow them. Which life do you recommend to your disciples, brahmacharya or grihastha? Depends on the disciple. Everybody has a different nature, a different mood, a different situation. So there's no pat or standard thing for everyone. Everybody is an individual and they're divided individually according to their nature and their situation. The dark ball if you're not Krishna conscious. But if you're Krishna conscious, it's the Vaikuntha world. It's the spiritual sky. Married life is the spiritual sky if you're Krishna conscious. Can you please tell us which devotee has influenced you the most in cultivating Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada, of course. Who Can you tell us when you became serious in your Krishna consciousness? In 1971. when I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master, that's when I became serious. What is your thought about sati something? Meaning that like in earlier, the wife used to give out. When the husband dies, the wife jumps into the funeral pyre and burns for their husband. What do you think about that? We don't need to do that. The wife should not do that. Because we are in the fire of Lord Chaitanya's movement. We're already in the fire of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So if your husband dies before you, you don't need to jump into the funeral pyre. Ladies, you don't need to jump in. When we serve Gaurinitai, Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra, I'm thinking of Lord Vishnu's form in one of my favorite temples. Is it okay to think of a different form of Lord other than what you serve? Actually, it's the same Lord. When I see Jagannath, that's actually Krishna himself. I mean, Jagannath is actually Krishna in ecstasy. You know the Leela? They were in Dwarka, and one of the, was it Vahini? Devi? Vishnupriya Devi? Who was discussing the Raja Leela and Dwarka in the room?
Rohini,
yeah.
Was
telling Devaki about Vrindavan Leela. And then who came first?
Krishna
was hearing this. And he was feeling great separation from Vrindavan. Actually, he was feeling tortured being separated from Vrindavan. And when he started to hear about it, he went into complete ecstasy. In fact, his limbs shrunk and his eyes became very big, and his body went into a weird, some unusual. And he tuned in, and Subhadra also came along. This is the Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra, the ecstasy of hearing of Vrindavan Leela. The ecstasy in the Vrindavan and separation. So it's very, very powerful. And Prabhupada explained that there's the esoteric understanding of Rathayatra. Lord Chaitanya pulled the cart in the mood of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. You see, what Prabhupada told us, I remember when I first was there with Prabhupada, he told us how during on the occasion of the solar eclipse, the Dwarkavasis and the Vrijavasis, they all got together in Kurukshetra. And the gopis are seeing Krishna again, especially Radharani, she's seeing Krishna again, you see. So she's so happy to see him, but yet she's feeling something is lacking. This is Dwarka. This is a Dwarka prince. I want my Vrindavan cowherd boy. You understand? It wasn't her Krishna. It was a different... He was different now. She didn't like... She liked it because it's Krishna, but she didn't like it because it wasn't her Krishna. You know what I mean? So, in their hearts, the gopis and Radharani were pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. Pulling back to Vrindavan. So, in this mood, once you pull the cart on Rathayatra, pull the rope on the Rathayatra, the bridge is fiction. Who is the devotee that guides you in your service? Spiritual life after His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami and His Holiness Vishnu Krishna Goswami. Yes, His Arvesh Srimati Vishnu Priyadevi does. She's a great inspiration for me. listening lectures through the phone or the tape, how much benefit compared to listening face to face? It depends on the quality of your hearing. Actually, you get more benefit by hearing the recording than being there live, if you're depending on your consciousness. If you're sitting in the lecture thinking, when is this lecture going to be over? I'm going to get out of here and go take some shadow. You know? But as compared to somebody who's just completely absorbed in hearing that recording, it depends on your consciousness. There's no restriction. Marriage is just a material custom. Why does it exist? Marriage is that you will only enjoy one woman. It's to restrict you in your sense enjoyment. Is divorce allowed in Krishna consciousness? No. It's nonsense. If not, why are there so many divorced devotees? Because they weren't following the injunction. They were deviating from Dharma by getting divorced. I have at least one question is, how can I become a pure devotee of Krishna? Everybody thinks that question. I don't think I can ever be a good preacher. Should I just leave preaching? No. You will become the most expert preacher if you just go out and start doing it. Qualification, no qualification, doesn't matter. You simply tell people about Krishna, you will become an expert preacher in due course. I have a liking to watch movies and hear movie songs, but I feel it is not affecting my Krishna consciousness, and why do I have to give it up? Well, actually, you don't really have Krishna consciousness yet to be affected. That's why you're very interested in watching movies. You're not even Krishna conscious. So once you actually become Krishna conscious, then you understand why it's not. It's like we go up, my wife and I fly in the airplanes, you know, so many flights every year, and now they have their own personal movie. Used to be, you had to watch the movie, you know. Used to be, everybody saw whether you liked it or not. But now you have your own little personal thing, you know, your little thing. You can watch movies, pick out the ones you want. We love lust, and we're watching some sex scene in a movie. It's crazy. It's crazy. Why pollute your consciousness? Why not, you know, hear a lecture or read a book or take a nap? You know, why pollute your mind watching some mundane movie? I'm a student. I have a desire to become a brahmacharya, but I'm very attached to my parents. What should I do? Please help. Well, you've been attached to your parents for millions and millions of lifetimes, and where did it get you?
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Attached to your parents, you should become a devotee.
This is a very nice point that my wife is making, because when you become a devotee, your parents get delivered. So you really love your parents. Thank you. Why is eating an onion and garlic and tea, coffee, not included in the Prabhupada principles? They are included. What is it? No illicit sex, no meeting, no. I'm saying, oh, see, they're not directly stated. Why is it mentioned that you should only take? Why is it only taking Vishadam mentioned? These things are understood. I mean, I don't know why we have to make a big deal out of it. Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita, "Anyam kishna shanashtam to mukshan se sarve kil vishaya." The devotees of our Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first to sacrifice. Others who prepare for personal sense enjoyment rarely eat only sin. So we can only take those foods which. And we think these are to be optional? Well, is Krishna's teachings optional? I can be a devotee without obeying Krishna? No. Being a devotee means you obey Krishna. So that it's not an option. And the thing is, we only take prasadam, and these things are not offerable. Onions and garlic stink. they're unfit for offering. They have a foul odor. They're not fit for being offered to the Supreme Lord. How do you even want to eat them? They're so foul and disgusting. You ever heard the saying, onions on his breath? It's like, get away from me, you got onions on your breath. How would you want to even eat such things, stinky things? How do we understand the atrocities and killings of women and children? Is it their karma? Or is it because of the demoniac leaders? Both things. If someone is a child and gets aborted, that means they aborted someone in their previous life and now they're getting a karmic reaction. But that doesn't justify it. You have to put a stop to it to break the cycle. I do not want to marry, I want to travel the world alone. I don't want to be a brahmachari either. Well, why don't you become a devotee? I mean, that would be much better than just being a wanderer. There's many people who wander around the world, and you can wander around the material world for millions of lifetimes. Why not become a devotee instead of you're happy to be a world wanderer? But you're going to wander for millions and millions of lifetimes in this material world, and you're in the year from now. Give up the mentality of wanting to be a world wanderer, becoming Krishna, that will satisfy you, not wandering the world. How to deal with a devoted husband whose philosophy is my way or the highway? Train him up. You have to train him up. If you're with a teach him what the philosophy is. My way or the highway is not the philosophy. It's Krishna's way or the highway, not my way or the highway. My dear husband, I appreciate that you want to dominate me, but remember that you also must be predominated by Krishna, otherwise you're not a proper husband. Train your husband up how to be a proper husband. I feel we should be allowed vegetarian meals outside. Okay. I understand you feel that way. Well, good luck. It's not sadhana. As I said, my wife and I fly all over the world where we can order vegetarian meals. We never order vegetarian meals because they're cooked by karmis. And the knife they cut the carrot with, they maybe just cut a piece of meat with it also, you know what I mean? So, I mean, why are you so loose in your sadhana? How do you expect to awaken your Krishna consciousness if you can't even discipline your senses a little bit? You know? You go ahead and eat your vegetarian meals, but don't expect to go back to God. Eating the vegetarian meals here and there cooked by karmis. If you're thinking it's okay, you want to just do it without any restriction. If there's an emergency situation, okay. If there's an urgent situation, okay. There's a license, you know. But as a routine thing,
and the parents are
not
devotees, they still eat meat. How
should
we deal with that?
So you go home and your parents are meat eaters. Well, you could, if they're a little bit cool, you could say, well, Mom and Dad, we have really a nice, something you might really enjoy doing, cook a vegetarian dinner and we can offer to Krishna. And those for preaching you, and he was a little bit flexible on that. When you get down to that level, the best thing is you go out and buy some new utensils. The best thing. Go out and buy some utensils. Say, Mom and Dad, we did this one time in our family. They at Christmas dinner. We said, cook a vegetarian dinner and we'll offer to Krishna. And all the family got together. And it could have worked out really well, but my brother's wife got all uptight and she turned it into a nasty thing. She started complaining. Everybody else was cool, but she ruined it, my brother's wife. But yeah, you just go and buy some big utensils. Say, Mom and Dad, I have a great idea. This, you can actually have a sacramental meal right here in your own home. Just like in Christianity, we'd have the Holy Sacrament, you know. We remember like two or three times a year we get a little wafer about that big. That big, get on the microscope to look at it. It's so small. Holy sacrament. But Mom and Dad, we're going to have a special thing. We're going to have a whole meal that's a holy sacrament. And you can help all cook together. You can buy some new utensils. Make a special thing out of it, you know, and say, we keep these utensils special. Whenever we come, we'll have a sacramental meal. In this, they make a big, you know, like a festival out of it. You know? Make it very attractive. And they make it, they're a little bit pious. They're like, yeah, we'll give it a try, sure. Anything to please our God, you know. We'll give it a try. And this way, they made a lot of advancement, you know. How do you suggest to a newly married couple how to live their lives? Well, you should get initiated and follow the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, and then you're married in the spiritual world. It won't be in the material world. That's kind of like Kunta marriage, living in the spiritual world. So any other questions now? I see that we may not hear anybody from the internet have a question. This is from Bhakti Sunil from India. It is fasting on Ekadasi day to begin at 12 a.m. If it's from sunrise to sunrise, that's when the Ekadasi begins. When the sun rises, that's when the Ekadasi begins, and it ends, then the Ekadasi comes the next day when it's sunrise. That's how you calculate it, sunrise and sunrise. Okay? Yes?
One funny story. I heard of a Grihastha couple when they were at the parents' place, and they purified the
water. Let me turn on my hearing aid here. Got to amp it up here with my little device here. See if I can hear it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, try again.
So they're at their parents' place, and they cooked a feast for their parents using their pots. But before they used the pots, they purified it with the calcium. Of course, the parents.
And Calvin, including our pots. Okay, thank you all very much for coming. Good evening.